Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Are you part of a small group at your church? It can be a blessing, no doubt about it. And yet, there are challenges, too. We connected with Pastor Nick Schatz, and he gave us some really, really good practical advice on how to handle some of these challenges. We walked through the top three, at least in his estimation, and we also talked about the challenges of being a part of a small group if it hasn't worked out for you for whatever reason. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. I hope it's going to be an encouragement for you. Let's dive in. Hey, Nick, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Kurt. So good to be with you on the broadcast. Thanks for having me on. I hope that I can be helpful to some of your listeners.
I have no doubt. No doubt at all. Okay, so you have very practical advice in your article, and we love practical theology. We absolutely love that, yes. So you talk about the top three hurdles of church small groups. What are they?
Yeah, sure. So I've been a pastor for 14 years, and for over about half of that, I've been directly involved with small groups. I found that there's kind of common issues. There's patterns that happen in most small groups. I wrote this for our group leaders, but I think they apply to almost anybody. The first one is childcare, and that's actually where my group is right now. We are outnumbered kids to adults. So we are four families. We have two middle schoolers, two babies, and everything in between. So obviously, if we get 20 to 30 minutes of good conversation in, man, that was a good time.
Yeah.
That was a good group meeting.
Yeah.
So childcare is one of them. The second one is commitment issues. I hear this all the time. Man, we had it on the schedule. People just didn't show up. Why don't they seem to be committed? So that's a second big issue. If there's not commitment of the group members, then you're not really going to take off the ground. So that's a big one to handle. And then the third one is conversation dominators, people that just, they're the first one to answer, and they seem to answer for a long time, and it shuts down the introverts in the group.
Oh, the overtalkers. Okay. All right. Well, let's dissect and dive deeply into each one of these for sure. So let's talk about childcare. What are some solutions here? How can we try to overcome the hurdle?
Yeah, so I listed several easy options that people can choose. I'll just mention a couple of them. One is that you can pitch in for a sitter, and this is what my group has been doing for a good while now. You know, it's hard for one person to pay the load for a sitter every week or every 2 weeks. So for our group, everybody chips in about $8 or $9. That's not too hard to come up with for our families, and it also provides enough money for a sitter to come and consider that worthwhile. They just go in my basement. They can be as loud as they want. We're going to be upstairs. And so that's a good option. A second one that I mentioned that I've seen a couple of groups do, if your kids are a little bit older, you know, middle school, especially high school, is to include them in the group. And here's why I love this. I've seen two groups do this very well. What I love about this is you have kids growing up in the home and they are learning very practically how to follow Jesus. Their faith matches the adult faith. It's not just youth group time. It's not just children's ministry time. They are learning this is the kind of stuff that comes up when you're trying to follow Jesus and make good choices and hold good commitments and values. And they're hearing from the parents. They can speak in. The parents can speak into the kids. It's really cool if that works out in your group. I'd encourage you to try it.
Man, this is good. Also, some other ideas, swap men and women meeting, basically. Some groups choose to meet three times a month, right? Once as men, once as women, and once as a whole group. So the big swap might be a big idea that some folks want to embrace.
I've seen that really helpful for families with a lot of young kids. Like if you have several families that all have babies or toddlers, finding a sitter that's going to watch 10 toddlers, that's going to be hard to find. And you better pay them top dollar
exactly.
And also finances are tight when your kids are that age.
Yeah.
So that's a great option too.
The other one, Nick, that you mentioned was commitment and attendance. I would put a star by this. This is a big one, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And if people can't commit to the group and come consistently, it's really hard to take off with the group and have meaningful conversations.
All right. So how do we overcome this? What do we do?
Well, I listed a few suggestions, but one that I think is most important that I list for your listeners is just to decide on the highest value of your group. Sometimes these commitment issues can simply be a misunderstanding of, hey, what is our group about and what do we want to accomplish? So, for instance, some groups really are outwardly focused, and so they want to invite in people in the fringes of the church, people who are coming maybe once a month, twice a quarter, and they want to invite them in. or maybe they want to invite unchurched people to come to the group. If that's your focus and your value, it might not be important for people to have a high commitment level. Just make sure you have a core group that is coming consistently. Otherwise, if the purpose of your group is really to go deeper with relationships and have really good fellowship, then that's when commitment's a very big issue. And attendance, you have to attend so you know other people well.
You also
agree on the value of your group.
I think that's wonderful. You also mentioned complete a group covenant. And this is something I had never even considered before, but it's worth looking at.
Absolutely. And you know, when I bring this up with new group leaders, I can see their body kind of get rigid, like, oh, that sounds too formal. But clarity is kindness. And if there's something that's important to talk about, let's lay it out on the table. If it's important that we're going to get together twice a month or three times a month, and this is what it's going to look like, this is what we're going to talk about while we're together, why not lay that out so everybody knows and people can get behind it? So there's good examples of group covenants online. I'd encourage you to Google that and find one.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Curtin Cape Mornings podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
Yeah, maybe the most challenging time for us to get together as a small group is during the summer time. So maybe taking a hiatus or something, just a break for the summer, might be a good idea too.
Absolutely. And actually, I have a group covenant with my group right now, and that's a part of it. Hey, during the summer, we're going to meet once a month just for cookouts and stuff. That way, nobody is disappointed when we're not getting together as frequently. In fact, we've talked about this. We agreed on it.
All right, so we've got those two. So we've got the attendance and the commitment level. We've got the childcare. Now let's talk about the chatty Cathys, et cetera, the conversation dominators. Many, or might I just say most small groups have the over-talker, and suddenly it's like shutting down everybody else. They are the one that's doing all of the talking. And there's very little back and forth. Please help us with this one.
Yeah, this is one I had to think about because I'm an internal processor, but some people are external processors. And so as they finish a sentence, they'll end with something like, but, or so, as they gather their next thought. So no one jumps into the conversation. They want to continue to talk. A couple things I found helpful. One is actually tell them that you're interrupting them. It sounds impolite, but it's actually more polite to say it this way. Hey, Kurt, I know I'm interrupting, but I want to hear what Jeff has to say. That's not too bad of a way to trend the conversation.
That's a great idea. I like that. That's excellent. Okay, so maybe instead of asking a whole group a question, call someone out. That's one way to direct the conversation too. And then, and you point this out. I want to follow up with this. If you feel too intimidated to interrupt, like we were just talking about, maybe a more polite way to do this is to wait for a subtle pause and just kind of, you know, follow up. You know, it's following up. It's acknowledging that what they said is important. And yet, it's just these subtle cues. But to be honest, Nick, there are some folks who are not aware of these types of cues. You know, maybe you try to make them more overt, but then you come across as being a bit too harsh. And what happens there is then nobody's going to be sharing at all. So it's a fine line to walk.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you do have to shut someone down politely, it can be helpful just to thank them. Hey, Kurt, thank you so much for saying that. I want to go over to Suzanne over here. I think she has something important to say. And that really draws out the introverts in the group who don't want to butt in and say anything, but man, they have good perspectives. Let's hear from them.
Yeah, I like that. Well, let's talk to the, let's talk about the issue of maybe we have tried to be a part of a small group and it's been, you know, basically promoted from the pulpits, and maybe we attend a larger church, which of course, that's very helpful, right? If you attend a very large church, you feel like you're just a number many times. How do I connect with other people? You can show up for the programs and the various ministries that they offer, and usually large churches have a lot of those, and you meet people and you can form relationships that way. But the small group aspect, they really do promote that because they're like, you know what, you need people not just to be your friends within the church, you need a circle of close friends. who can be with you through the ups and downs of life, somebody you can text with your challenges, somebody you can connect with if somebody is sick, let's say, and you need prayer or you need prayer for something. Doing life together is so, so very important. And this is a way that you can have that intimate group of friends. Now, that sounds great, and it is. But even in my own experience, it usually does not translate into that type of experience. For one group it did for me, but there are many other groups where it did not. And I'm just being honest here. The personalities clash, the this and the that. And it's easy for us to become discouraged. And we're like, it's not working for me. We get together. We're supposed to have a Bible study or whatever. All we ever do is just eat and talk. And I'm not going deeper with Jesus. And why am I even here? What am I doing here?
Yeah, well, one thing that I think is important to realize is we shouldn't expect our group meetings to be an episode of Friends. You know, we grow up watching Seinfeld and Friends and these groups of people that are just super, super close in their relationships. A church small group, it can become that. It's awesome when it becomes that. However, when you're gathering and your purpose is to study the Word, it's to pray together, it's to support one another, to ask updates on one another's life and to care for each other, you may be close in that way, but not become close friends, like an episode of Friends. So don't expect that. Take it for what it is and enjoy the fellowship that you do have in that group.
Well, I like that. That's great. And maybe our expectations can be quite high. There's no doubt about it. We can, okay, well, this is not meeting my needs. Here's another way to look at this, Nick. Maybe I'm the part of a small group, not for my needs to be met, that consumer mentality, but maybe God has placed me in this group because He wants me to be an encouragement to others. It's not about me. It's about somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a pastor's heart. So I appreciate people that join groups that, hey, I want to help. I want to connect other people. I've even seen people do this. I'm going to jump into this group for a one-year commitment, and then I'm going to bounce out and start a new group. That's kind of like a small way of doing church planting within a church, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. That's great. So I just want you to have a heart-to-heart here before I let you go. So many great practical suggestions, but for those who, I want you to address two groups of people, so it's kind of a two-pronged question. For those who have never been part of a small group, how should they start? That's the first question. And the second question is for those who have been burned, and maybe it was a situation where they were encouraged to be a very transparent, very authentic, and share stories, and they revealed very personal things, and then somebody betrayed them, and they feel like that they've been burned over and over again, and they just don't want to risk exposing themselves to that kind of rejection or that type of situation ever again. What would you say to them? So go ahead and tackle both of those scenarios, if you would.
Yeah, so in the first question, if I heard you right, you were saying, how can I get started with a small group?
Yes.
Let me start with a quote that I heard from Rick Warren several years ago. I love this. He said, the first thing that Jesus did when he started his earthly ministry was start a small group. Man, big things can happen in small groups, and those things can multiply and expand, and look, the churches all over the world now. So that's incredible. So this is extremely important for us to foster these closer connections with other people. I would look around at your current church and just find some people who are kind of in a similar life stage, maybe a similar faith journey as you, and just start getting together, and eventually maybe you can form some kind of group covenant and make this more official, or of course, talk to your pastor. That's another way. You also asked a question about people who have been burned by groups in the past. Not every group works out. Not every relationship clicks, right? Not everybody is like Kurt and Kate, man, just peas in a pod, right? And so yeah. I would say this, if the group isn't working out and you feel like you have to exit, you're not clicking, go ahead and do that, but don't give up on groups completely. Give it a fair shot. If it doesn't work out, step back, take a break, and then try another one. It may work out.
Yeah. There you go. And there's always going to be an element of risk there. And there's always going to be a reason to say, I'm just going to take a pass.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, on that note about different frustrations, I would say this. If you are frustrated about something happening in the group, maybe it's related to commitment issues, maybe it's related to childcare, these things that we've talked about, likely everyone else in the group notices that and is frustrated too. So just initiate. Just bring up the conversation. I guarantee you the other people in the group have been thinking about it. They feel awkward bringing it out. And they're going to appreciate that you brought it out. And maybe maybe that'll help solve the issues that's going on in your group before someone feels like they have to.
Man, that's good. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you. Blessings to you and your family. You're always welcome to join us anytime.
All right. Thanks, Kurt. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.